In a world of podcasts, one rises in the night to destroy them all. The Elder God in an ocean of noise, the Cthulhu of the airwaves. This is Spoiler Country.
I haven't used it.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome back to Spoiler Country. I am Kenrick Regan. And today on the show, we're doing more of a Kickstarter signal boost, kind of going old school like we used to do. And today we have Thomas Holes, who has, well, he is the purveyor of World at War comics. He has the World at War comics podcast. If you're a comic geek like I am, and if you listen to this, you probably are too, you should go check out his podcast. He has a lot of cool stuff, a lot of great content. But he's got a Kickstarter going on right now. This is for issue 2 of Kingsville. And we're hoping to get him over. So, Thomas, welcome aboard, man.
I appreciate it, Kenrick. This is really kind of you to invite me to your channel. I really appreciate it. You know, you got to speak to as many people as possible to get the brand out there. And hopefully we find some comic book fans that haven't seen it yet that think it's pretty interesting. And I feel like our Kickstarter has a lot of options for you to pick up Kingsville 2. So appreciate it.
Yeah. I already threw my hat in that ring and wow. I can't wait. I hope to God that you fund because I want to get my book.
Yeah. There's two of us that hope to God I fund. So it's pretty expensive creating a comic book and when you're married, there's a lot of explaining to do as to why your hobby costs so much. So this would definitely help with the cost because obviously I'm pushing through and I'm hoping that I could get some money back. So I have a little bit to the side for issue 3 because I got the story done there and I want to jump right into issue 3 if possible because it's a four story arc. And I'd like to get that arc completed hopefully by, you know, May or so, June of next year and have a whole story that someone could take off and hopefully enjoy.
Nice. So tell us about Kingsville. Maybe for people who don't know how Kingsville started, where it came from, where it's at, and where we're going.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Kenrick. So, I mean, Kingsville, in a very loose way, I've had the story for quite a while. In our world, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of fun conspiracy theories that are going on around the world about how some of these giant government groups are growing in power. And again, I think for the most part, the
Illuminati.
Yeah, exactly. I think for the most part, right, they do what they say they're doing. So I certainly don't want to make it sound like I'm some crazy guy. The story is there to go in that direction. I think it's a lot of fun. So if you look at like the World Health Organization or the World Economic Forum or something like that, right, they have these nation partners that come in and then they try to work out things that better the world, right? And so that's what it looks like on the outside. So I took a story in the same vein, but I like to tell a story of like, okay, what if this group who's doing all these great things on the outside also have something else going on that's helping them gain more and more power, but in not such a nice way, right? In fact, it's a pretty evil way. So because I wanted to tell that story, I created a world that is all fictional, right? There are countries that I made up with capitals that I made up because I certainly didn't.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. And not being that smart, it took me a lot longer than probably the normal person. I did create that whole world because I didn't want to create a fence of someone who lives in a certain country. And that country in my book is super evil and they're doing crazy things. So I created a fictional world, and instead of using like the World Economic Forum, I created the Alliance for Global Safety. And that's kind of where the story had. So I've had this in the back of my head for a long time. The day-to-day working, I work a lot of hours, is really hard to really spend time on it. So last year, I've gone through a lot of health issues, and I won't get into the whole history of my health issues, but they led to a kidney failure, and then I had to go on dialysis for a couple years. And then last year in September, I got the miracle call that they found a kidney that was a perfect match.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. I mean, you get choked up thinking about it, but I thought I'd be on dialysis for 10 years because I live in California. California is a big state from a population standpoint. And it's one of the states that you wait the longest for a kidney because kidneys don't come available that long time, that often, right? And so the waiting list is quite long in California. And it's hard to go to other states and, you know, throw your hat into it because you got to be at the hospital within a few hours. And if you can't do that, that kind of cuts off that opportunity. So anyways, I got a kidney. And
I'm so happy to hear this.
No, it was awesome. And it was incredible. In fact, on my YouTube page, I go more into depth of the story, and actually the family of the deceased person who was actually my age, they sent me a letter because they wanted me to know the type of person that kidney came from. So it was really emotional. I did a video for it because it was incredible. I get choked up thinking about it.
God, you can make me choked up. And I'm not even kidding, man. That's crazy.
No, it gives me chills thinking about it. So, but anyways, I was out of work for 7 months, and I was driving my wife crazy, you know, for the first, you know, couple of months. Like, I couldn't do a whole lot because, you know, you're recuperating, you're resting. But after that, you know, I felt like I was pretty good. Like, I recovered, I think, very well. But they wanted you to be out because what happens is your white blood cell count really drops after a surgery like that. And you could get sick really easily. And, you know, some people die after that kind of a surgery after getting ill. So 7 months, I'm doing nothing. And my wife goes, "You got to do something because I don't want you around me. Like, not this much." Right. And if anybody who's been married a long
time. Omega comic.
Anybody that's been married a long time, you know, the time away from your spouse or significant other is as important as being around them when it counts as well. Mm-hmm. So she knew I wanted.
You need that independence.
Yeah, you do. You do need that.
I think people mess that up when I meet people and they're always around each other and they seem like they're perfectly happy. And I'm just like, that's got to be killing one of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you got to have how. I mean, today my wife left me home alone, and her and my daughters went to Disneyland. Her thing is Disney. She has a pass. I don't have a pass because I can't stand going to Disneyland, and it's mainly because of the expense and the waiting around, and it's just crowded. Yeah,
I got to take my kid to Disneyland. She's 10, and it's time to go. We live in Seattle, so and I grew up in between Newport Beach and Seattle. Because my dad was born and raised in Orange County. Nice. So we'd go down there every Christmas and every summer. So I've been to Disneyland a million times, but we live here. So it's hard. That's like a family vacation plan. It's expensive.
It's expensive.
So a pass is crazy.
Yeah, the pass is crazy. It's pretty expensive. It's about, I think, $6,000 a year or $5,000 a year my wife pays. But I mean, that's her thing, right? I have my hobby and I'm paying $6,000 for a comic.
There you go.
So
you can make one comic book a year for that much.
Exactly.
almost.
Well, there's other costs too, right? It doesn't include shipping and
It doesn't include shipping and printing and
crazy. That's like when people see Kickstarters and are like, you know, man, this is like overwhelming. Kickstarters are really important for independent creators because it is quite expensive to tell the story. And the great thing about a Kickstarter, right, is you're not necessarily asking for a freebie. You're getting the comic book, you're getting quality. There's all kinds of cool things that people put in their Kickstarter. And so I consider Kickstarter my second LCS. And I get my Big Two and my Image and, you know, the AWA and the Boom there. And then I go to Kickstarter for independent stuff. And I will say I probably spend 70% of the money I spend on comic books comes from Kickstarter or Indiegogo because I love independent comics.
Well, it's funny because I have a ton of books. I love reading comic books, but I have gone away from the Big Two. I grew up on Spider-Man. I grew up on the X-Men. I grew up on Batman, you know, and I love all those characters, but at the same time, they're not written for me anymore.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, I you have to move on at some point and do something else. And that's a whole different genre of people. They want different things than I want. And I'm fine with that. You know, it's time for the old white guy to move aside and let them do their thing. Yeah, and I think it's great. Most of it's great. Like Miles Morales, I think is the best character in the last 20 years.
Oh, 100%. You know, I mean, you look at the animated movies, it's probably the best superhero movie in the last 4 years. I mean, ever since, you know, Marvel stopped with that round that they had of like billion-dollar movies, like five in a row. And now you see phase four and five has really been tough. I mean, they haven't made a dollar, I think, ever since. And so, but then they did Miles Morales, which is actually a Sony film, and it killed it. I loved it.
It kills. Yeah.
Except for the ending. I was like, no. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't watched the new one yet.
Oh, you got to see the new one. It is so good.
Oh, good. I'm going to watch. I plan on watching. I just haven't yet. I'm waiting for it to be available so I can watch it with my kid. Yeah, and then we can be good. Awesome. But I tend to just go on Kickstarter now.
Yeah.
And or trying to find, because the thing is with the independent scene, there's so much originality.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great stories. And not just from people you never heard of. There's great stories that well-known writers and artists are doing it as well, if you want to stay with that. But if you think outside the box and you give yourself a chance to meet somebody like Thomas Hulls here and you want to read Kingsville, you're going to read something that you haven't read before. Yeah. And you've never seen before. So, and that's what's cool. I love that. That's what you want to get into.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. And so, yeah, I'm glad that we're doing this, because I think people should go check out Kingsville. They should go check out other stuff that are on there, because there is a really amazing comic. Some of the comics I have picked up over the last couple of weeks that are starting to flow in are just amazing. So, but to get back to the Kingsville. So during that time of 7 months, I put the story and I got out issue number one. It actually launched. We had a successful Kickstarter in March. And so that was issue one. And it takes, you know, a good 5 months to get an issue done. I could get it done. Like if I was rich, I could pump them out about every 2 months, but to kind of get $6,000 together and pay my artist and all that stuff, it takes a little bit more money and time. So it takes me a little longer to put out an issue. If I could get 3 a year, I think that would be amazing. I would love to get to the point where I have a big enough fan base where I could put out 4 a year. I think that's about as much as an independent person probably can handle, to be quite honest. But if I could do 2 a year, I'm super happy. And this will be 2 if I could get this one done. During that 7 months, I put the issue out. And the way the world is created, right, you have AGS, which is this nonprofit organization that are bringing nations together so that those nations can easily share resources, help one another where shortages happen, and then create safety. And what the Alliance for Global Safety has found, that this small nation in the north, it's an island nation called Kingsville. It's a mining community, a fishing community. It's the coldest place in the world. So it's like 7 months of winter, and then they work really hard during that off season to mine and to fish so that they could supply their community during the seasons where it gets a little bit tougher. But one of the minerals they find is a mineral called psychedone. And AGS has come in, and they were purchasing it from there. They were doing trade. And what AGS did is take it back to their science department. And there's these two scientists, Rodrigo and Marissa, who are able to take psychedone and create, because they saw the properties in it, they were able to create a serum called Feridone that when injected into a human gives them super strength and superhuman powers. And so once they started to do this, AGS realized this is another element that could really help us bring in more nations by helping to share these superhumans in those nations to help them with safety and everything. So as a nation comes in and becomes a member nation of AGS, they get a superhuman or a superhero within their nation to help with safety, to help whatever's needed. And so some of these superhumans have become pretty popular within their nation. But what that's all on the outside. What they don't realize is Dr. Derrickson, who is the lead of AGS, he is using these superhumans to do other things to help create an environment where he gains more power. And some of these nations are aware of it, and they're in cahoots with Dr. Derrickson, and others aren't yet. And so they think they're just part of this group that's doing the right thing for the world, and they get their superhuman in there, but he is... you know, got the strings to all these super humans, and he's
the puppeteer.
Yeah. And so now Kingsville is starting to question, like, this guy is gaining a lot of power, and I'm not sure I want to be the supplier of these superhumans, because I don't have superhumans myself, because I don't want to be a member nation of that, but I'm going to cut them off of this mineral. And so that's what's taking place, and AGS and Dr. Derrickson's kind of pissed off about this. So on one side, he's making his moves with these superhumans. On the other side, Kingsville is shutting him off of this mineral. And so far, this is the only place in the world where this mineral seems to be coming from. So that's kind of the foundation of the story. And in issue one, you see how he's utilizing these superhumans because people are starting to rise up. And just like in the U.S. and other countries, as people hear these conspiracy theories, they create like YouTube channels and they're saying, this is really what's happening with AGS. They're not doing these great things. So it becomes really fun to kind of mimic what's going on. And it's silly at times and it's fun, but it's also pretty gory.
So is the Doctor a rogue agent within AGS? And AGS itself is not an evil entity? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like they're I see them as a conglomerate entity that's doing all these things in different countries. This is one arm, and this is one guy within that is doing. Or does he run? Is he like the Kofi Annan of AGS?
That's what he is. Yeah. He started it. He created it many years before, just like the World Economic Forum did. Right, it started with Charles. Was it Charles Schwab or something like that, where the guy was that started the World Economic Forum. And he started like 50 years ago. And you look at it today, there's a lot of member nations that are part of that. And that took many, many years to do. And they do a lot of really good things too. But in this situation, it's the same thing, but he's doing other things that are not kosher. We don't think
so. He's not being a very nice man.
He's not a nice guy. And you'll see he's not a nice guy at all. And in issue two, you'll see how he kind of handles these nations. You know, he's beautiful and elegant in his speech. You know, he's a scientist too. So he is a doctor. So he kind of understands that piece. But yeah, he definitely is the leader of AGS and he's pulling all the strings.
Oh man. So where did this idea come from?
Really just looking at the current world situation and then just taking it and making it as evil as possible for Kingsville. Like I said, look, that looks pretty cool, but what if there's things that are going on that we're not aware of and they're killing off?
Yeah, we're not privy to
them. And so again, it was fun to kind of get into that a little bit. And I made that as the premise of my comic book.
Yeah. Well, do you want to check out your Kickstarter?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's check it out. Let's do it. Can we do a present? And then share screen and okay, which screen are we sharing? We're going to share not that one, not this one. Yes. Let's mute that. Say allow.
There it is.
There we go. And there it is. Yes, so we got 1,214 days to go. Yeah. Guys, we need to get that pumped.
Yeah, man. Any help?
We need to get it pumped. Yeah. Yeah. It's always tough.
Mm-hmm. I would like to be like, we're halfway through the Kickstarter. My goal was to be at least at 50% through 50% time lapsed. And we have fallen behind. So I'm hoping, you know, a lot of people work for like the state or government positions and paydays the 1st and 15th. I'm hoping as we get to the 1st, people have a little bit extra funds that are comic book fans. I mean, you know, I got to wait for my payday to do these type of things too. Yep. So I'm hoping that we'll get a little bump over the weekend and the beginning of next week.
If you're listening, you're interested. One thing to remember, pledge, you're not charged until it's fully, the campaign is over. It's like, what campaign? The campaign is over, which for his is 14 days away. So we're looking at October 15th.
Yep. October 15th.
So you won't even be charged till October 15th. And he's got a lot of cool rewards. You have a few different covers. We got cover A. Looks great. This is your main cover right here.
No, the main cover is actually the background right now. So this is the main cover.
Yep.
Nice. I did that because this cover right here is Dan Zayer artist. And I feel like the interior artist should do my main cover as well. And
then
I work with Will Torres, who has done art with Marvel, Dynamite, Image Comics. He has his own company called Vision Quest. So he has his own
comics
too. But yeah, so he did the other two. And if you scroll back up, we call one, you know, that cover, not that one, but the other one, that is called the Innocent cover. And then the second one.
Here's the Doctor.
Yeah, that's Dr. D right there. And that's a lot of the superhumans that have been created through AGS. And this is the bloody version, right? And we did this because that top one is what the world sees, but that bottom one is reality.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
And then here's your main cover.
And this is the main cover. So you'll see in issue two, in issue one, we bring forth two main characters that are the superhumans. Yeah. Right here is Collapse. That's his name. And he, his super power that he gained is not only super strength, but he could collapse into a puddle of liquid. And so as a big guy, he's not too fast. Obviously he's a pretty large man,
right?
He's extremely powerful. So he could collapse into a pool of liquid, and then he's very fast, right? He could run across the ground as liquid, go up walls, go under doors. And when he comes back into form, a lot of times he comes up with an uppercut and he'll just take your whole head off because he's that strong. And so we call him Collapse because of his ability to collapse into liquid. This,
I like it. That's a cool name.
The first characters in issue one, and this is my personal favorite. And then is the second character, superhuman, is this gentleman right here, and his name is Snapback. And his arms and legs shoot out about 10, 15 feet, and then they snap right back. And if you look at his hand, it looks like a diamond on his hand. It comes to a point. Those are shoulder pads, and they're serrated metal, so they come to a point. And they're like gloves. And so when he thinks he needs them, he pulls them off his shoulders, puts them on his hands, and then his arms shoot forward and snap back. But if he shoots this at you, it's coming at you like a bullet, and it's going right through you because it is a point, a serrated point at the end. So we call him Snapback because his arms and legs snap right back. And so those are
that's cool.
characters in issue number one, and they're the main super I don't call them superheroes because they're not really superheroes, but they are, right? To the nation that they represent.
To the general public.
Yeah, general public. But they're not, man. They're superhumans, but they're not heroes at all. So in issue two, I bring forth six new characters. And this character right here is Death Day. And he Death Day.
Yeah.
Yep. And he has obviously super human strength. All of them have superhuman strength, but he also is like a ninja. And so he has the, you know, great abilities with swords and knives and all that good stuff. And he's pretty stealthy, and he plays a major role in issue two as he is doing some reconnaissance in issue number two. And there's a lot of fun pictures and whatnot that you'll see in issue two. So yeah, that's cool. Death Day there. This is page.
We got some interiors.
We do. So what's great about the Kickstarter is I did like an entry level tier. So for $5, you get the PDF if your thing is digital. So that, like I said, I wanted to put different, you know, amounts, right, to fit every single budget. So you have the $5 one. We'll send you the PDF after it's over.
And then
we have after that, each comic is $10. So you could just get issue one. And there's one for each cover. And then I give you a $5 savings if you pick up all three covers. Instead of $30, it's $25, and so on and so forth. If you are another brand and you would love to run an ad, I have four ad spaces in the comic, and those are $15 a page. So I don't know if you're familiar with Black Box Comics, but they just purchased one, which I'm really excited about because I'm a big Black Box Comics fan. They have amazing comic
books. That's awesome.
If you want to go. And I have three more spots open for if you want to be branded in the comic book.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And then I have a issue one, issue two, and you'll save $2 by buying those two like that. So instead of 10 each, it's $18, and we'll go ahead and send you issue one and two so you have the full story up to date.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. And then you can see the pictures on the left. There's Death Day about to drop into the area where he's going to do a little bit of reconnaissance for AGS. What's cool
is stretch goals out. See, you're smart. I have stretch goals for mine, but I haven't announced them.
Oh, okay.
Because I was still trying to plan. I had three planned, but you know what I mean? What order I want to do it in, when I want to do it, all that kind of stuff. See, so you're well ahead of the game.
So what's great about the stretch goals, right, is my goal is 4,000. So no, I don't get paid if we don't hit the $4,000 goal, and you don't get charged unless I hit the 4,000 goal. But right now, right, for every $1,000, there's some sort of thing that you're going to get. And what's great is once I hit the 4,000, everybody gets the first four stretch goals automatically. So I didn't do it like after the 4,000. I wanted people to get extra stuff as I started to gain toward my goal. So the first
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That way that everyone's getting something. And then I have two goals that come for, you know, after that. So the first thing is really cool embossed stickers.
Nice.
Really nice. So that everyone's going to get one of those that already hit 1,000 if I hit the goal. The next one is a magnet. So these are cool. These are World at War comic magnets you can throw on your fridge. Nice. Which is pretty cool. And then after that, we have our first 9-card series of trading cards or collector's cards. So here's the first one with Snapback on it, which is really cool. And then on the back,
those are nice.
The story of his powers and how he became a superhuman, his name, what nation he's from, all that good stuff. So if we hit $3,000, which we're going to have to hit if I hit the goal, everyone gets one card. If we make the goal, everyone gets two cards. So two of the 9, everyone's going to get. Then after that, we have this one right here. And this is a 11x17 poster of issue 1. I'll have these made up for everybody if I hit, I think it was at 5,000.
Yep.
Yep. And then if we get to 6,000, which obviously if I get to 4, I'll be super happy. But we have these poker chips that are made, these Vegas poker chips.
Oh, that's cool.
In Vegas. Yeah. And on the one side, it has issue 1, which has Collapse on it, the cover. And on the back side, it had, or the front side, whichever side you're looking at, you have Snapback on the other one. I don't know if you can see it with the glare.
Yeah. So these are poker chips you can see it.
I had made, which are really cool, man. So,
That's cool.
Chip with the two covers.
Yeah. No, this looks great.
All kinds of goals. If you're a retailer and you own a comic book store, you get a super duper discount. And so I have one that comes with 5 of issue 1 cover A, which is the Collapse one. And then you get 5 copies of the first cover for issue 2. And then I have one where you get all 3 covers, 5 each. And I got all kinds of different things for retailers, and they get a very big discount as a retailer because we all know they need to make their margin. And at the cost I'm giving them, they'll get a 50 margin off of our comic, which I think is significant in the comic world.
50%
between 30% and 40% on comic books. And I feel like you need to have a higher margin offering to a retailer as an independent anyways. So that's a great opportunity for them.
Have you figured out which character people are gravitating towards?
Well, I've only had the first issue, and I could tell you Collapse is the most popular out of the first issue so far, but I can't wait until the other 6 arrive because there'll be 8 superhumans that they could choose from.
Right.
But Collapse was so popular. Let me see if I have it in front of me. I actually made this sticker that I send out to everyone when they buy my comic from eBay or like the TikTok shop or something like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
On there it says World at War Comics, and then it has my link tree, which everyone should have, that has everything that's going on in my little tiny world that I've created with World at War Comics, from YouTube pages to, you know, I'm an affiliate for Entertainment Earth, so if you like collecting characters, you get a 10% discount and free shipping if you use my code. So there's all kinds of still cool stuff you could do through my
very link nice
tree. yeah
Well, this looks really good, Tom. I'm excited for you. I really hope that you make the goal. But even if you don't make it this time, you just revamp.
Yeah.
And try again, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's
revamp and try again.
It's not the end of the world, but you know, we still have time, and we can get there.
We do. We can get there.
We just
My last Kickstarter, it wasn't until like the last 5 days that people started coming in, which you know, I tried to let them know how stressful that is. Like, if you're going to back me, just do it. Right. But again, everyone has their reasonings. I respect all of that. But man, boy, I hope I make it. But I will tell you, my first issue, I did an Indiegogo and it was terrible. I think my mom and 2 of my sisters were the only ones that backed me. And it was terrible. It was embarrassing and terrible. Then I did a Kickstarter after that. But I learned so much from that my Kickstarter was well prepared and all that good stuff. So again, man,
that's the thing. That's the hardest part, man. It's building that Kickstarter campaign and making it where it makes sense and people like go in and you, I don't want to say overwhelm them, but you almost have to overwhelm them with graphics and, you know, because you got to entice.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you know, I know on mine that one of the best things I did was put the pictures of the rewards.
Yeah.
With the price that seemed to help a lot. And then if something sells out, like I have one tier that's gone and it was gone the first day, which I was like shocked,
you know?
And I was able to put sold out and then throw that up there. And it just, I don't know if that felt good.
Yeah, man, that's awesome.
But it's my first one. So like we said, you know, your friends and family tend to help out a lot. And I don't know how, you know, and if they like it and you never know, you know, once they read issue one, they might go, I need to know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a decent cliffhanger at the ish at the end of issue one. So I was hoping that I put that taste in everyone's mouth for issue two. So I'm really happy with issue two. You know, as a comic creator, I've done a lot of professional writing. I've been in the grocery industry for 30 years and I've worked at all kinds of companies like Mondelez, mega company, you know, a Fortune 100 company. It's huge. And I've worked for startups like Chosen Foods and stuff like that. And I've had some pretty good positions there. And I did a lot of writing for Forbes magazine, like on business.
Oh, cool.
Topics. Like, so you could, if you Google my name, you might get a couple Forbes magazine articles on, you know, just topics on leading, management, mentorship. Those things are really important to me as a leader of a team. And so I've written on some of those things. That is not a, I mean, it's great that I wrote, but that type of writing does not work well in comics, right? Because you
want it doesn't equate as well.
Yeah. So you don't want everyone being very dry and it sounds like the same person's talking every character.
Right.
So that I had to learn a lot. And, you know, obviously I got a lot better at it for issue one and issue two. And so, yeah, that those are the type of things that you learn as a comic book creator and you get a lot of feedback. And I'm just so happy that the community that we have in the independent world is so open to help one another out. I mean,
I'll
do anything for anybody. I know a lot of people will do anything for me too. And I just love it. Even you reaching out, Kenrick, is awesome. I mean, I just met you a week ago, right? And that's the world that we're in comics, right? It's so awesome. I just,
you could tell the difference too for somebody who's passionate that cares that you like truly cares that you being you that one you succeed that you're a good person and not only they're trying to do the same thing you are but it's not just about oh I succeeded you know what I mean they like they I everybody I've met really wants you to do well really 100%. Wants you to succeed and they all want to prop each other up because it's tough.
It's so tough.
It's not easy, man. And people think, I could, you know, no.
Yeah.
No, because you're putting yourself out there too. You're not just, you know, somebody is reading it and judging what you're doing.
For sure.
And 100%. You know, 100%. And you can't please everybody and you can't, I hope to God you don't think any, I hope anybody out there doesn't think they can because you can't.
You just can't. Yeah, that way.
You know, you just have to be open and you know, and do it for the passion because you're not going to make $1 million doing this.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I'll be honest.
I have dreams.
Yeah, exactly. I'm losing money on this, but that's okay. This is a hobby for me. I did it because I love the hobby. I love comic books. I've been reading comics my whole life. You saw my office. I got boxes of comics everywhere. I got my new titles here that I got to read. Like they're just everywhere, right? That's why I did this because I love comic books and I wanted to tell this story. So if I break even, I would be so that's winning for me because now I could you know, right, help fund my passion and hopefully I create something that people love. I just want to break even and be able to fund the next comic book. That's all I care about.
That's all. Yeah, me too. Yeah. I got four issues that I'm planning and the dream is get the four out, get the trade paperback out. And then try to do a fundraiser for animated movie on it.
Oh, that would be sweet, man. That would be awesome.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
You know, but that doesn't, who knows, you know?
Who knows?
But to be able to say I got something out that is, you know, published.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is. Right? I mean, that's awesome, man. I mean, it's so hard to self-publish, man. It's so expensive. Oh, and, yeah. You know, people who read comic books should know that. We don't have the buying power of an Image or a DC, right? So when we go to a printer and we're, you know, doing 50 issues or 100 issues at a time, they're costing probably $3 to $4 to print, right? Depending on the publisher or the
printing costs as much as it costs for Marvel to sell one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Not cheap.
You're spending $3-4. I'm printing at that level.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because I'm not printing 100,000 of them, and they probably own their own. You know,
printers.
And some of them, there's a part of me that wishes I could own my own printing press.
Yeah.
And just set everything up and print out what I want.
Yeah.
You know, but it's tough.
It's tough. It's tough. It's expensive.
I think I think if you don't do it on this particular campaign, I think you're going to reload and come back and it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I think it's just tough. I think it's like that all over. You know, if I went back today and restarted the campaign, I'd be like, I think I need to do $1,000 less.
Yeah.
I was sweating bullets. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, I did $1,000 less on this one than my last one. Maybe I just drop it a little bit. Plus, you know, that funded me, and that's what this Kickstarter will do. The last Kickstarter funded me through, I think it was 11 pages. And then this Kickstarter will help me finish the comic to the 24 pages. And then it'll help me fund the next 10 pages on issue 3. So that's how I did it. Like issue 1, I funded most of it. And then the Kickstarter team let me finish and then help me with issue 2. And now this one will, and that's how I've been planning out my Kickstarter. That way I'm always getting started on the next issue. And that way it forces me to be in front of it. So I tell that full arc, which is the 4 comics. And then like you, I'll come out with a trade. And by then I should have a fan base of people who really enjoy the comic. And that will dictate whether I keep going. Because I could keep going. Yeah. I have a story where I could go on for many issues, but I want to be realistic, right? You want to be practical and, you know, come out and say, I'm going to have this ongoing series, I think is a little silly until you start to build up a group of people.
So you have your audience base and you can go through and you have somebody that you have people that want it to be there and want to have more. Yeah. That's why this, like the first 4 is a tight story.
Yeah.
One done. You know what I mean? It has the ability to go on if there's a calling for it.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't see that it's going to, if I just squeak past the finish line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to finish the 4 regardless of what I make on it.
Exactly. That's my,
you know what I mean?
It just might take me a little bit longer without,
It might just take a little longer, whatever. Cause I have other stories I want to write. Yeah. So it's like, okay. But at the same time, it's like, we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see. I mean, and you got a great setup. It's got a cool name, got some great characters. I feel like it should be way more. But the thing is, it's like you're on a mountaintop screaming and it's like, who's hearing you? Yeah.
I'll be honest, and the algorithms in like Instagram and TikTok, about 80% of the people that follow you never see most of what you're sending out, because that's not how Meta wants to grow their platform. And if you want to grow, or you want to be able to speak to the people that are actually following you, they want you to pay for that. And so they want you to boost your content and market your content. And that's,
they're already making so much money.
Oh, it's crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's
to play,
it drives me nuts. And I'll be honest, man, I go on to Kickstarter and I see some of the campaigns and they're like $30,000, $40,000, and they're looking for a $3,000. I'm like, how did they do this? And they're like, well, they're a known person. I'm like, I've never heard of any of these people.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Like, I understand if like a Scott Snyder does a Kickstarter, he's probably going to do pretty good, right? But to your point, some of these people, like I have to Google and see who they are. Like, how does someone like that get $30,000? Dollars
and
they ask for 5
and good for them. Totally good for them. I'm happy for them because it shows the possibilities, and I love seeing the success. The jealousy is not the jealousy of them as a person, it's the jealousy of why their product or their campaign and what did they do that I missed.
That's what I want to know. Like what step am I like tripping over or skipping to be able to get. And I don't need $30,000. If I could just hit my goal every time, I'll be in good shape. But when you see someone do that, that's absolutely crazy insane.
It's incredible. And it's cool. I really do. I love seeing it. And it makes me go, oh man, what'd they do?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm super happy for them. And usually those are the ones I purchase right away. Like if they could get $30,000 in funding, they were only asking for five, they must have amazing content that they're sharing. And so when I see those, I always buy one. Like I back it because they must have some amazing story that they're telling, which has been really cool. Actually, there was a young
lady. Well, I always wondered, like, where are they sharing? What are they showing? You know? What platforms are they using? Because like, honestly, I look at them and I'm like, I've been reading comic books since like 1979. I'll be 50 next year. Yeah. I've been reading for a long time and I've done this podcast for a long time. I have interviewed Walt Simonson, Luis. I've interviewed many great comic book people. And it's like, I don't know who these people are, which I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just saying, if I don't know who they are, and I'm constantly reading and getting to know people, it's always shocking to me. Not that they don't have a fan base. They're obviously doing really well. So it's always like, what am I missing?
Yeah. I was trying to look on my phone and I can't remember the young lady's name. Oh, Irene is her name. I can't remember her full name, but she has a comic called Fiendish.
Okay.
And I had no idea.
Is it on Kickstarter?
I think it was on Kickstarter. Either that or Indiegogo. It's one of those, but it's Fiendish. I didn't know who she was, but I saw she killed it on her campaign. She got like $35,000 or something like that. So because of that, I'm like, well, I'm going to buy her comic. It must be amazing. And sure enough, I got it. I haven't read it yet because I just got it. The art is amazing.
Yeah.
She's an artist too. And she's pretty talented as an artist, but she did a campaign and she killed it on the campaign. I'm like, who the hell is this person and how do they do so well? So just as an example, I mean, I'm reading this. I'm like, this is crazy. So I wish I could connect with her so I could say, hey, step by step, what did you do? But then you look at her following and she has quite a following you got to build up your following too.
Yeah. I think that's where artists that have the ability to draw and have something to do while they're talking to you and going over things and showing these amazing pictures have a leg up in that respect.
No, that's
I could sit here and draw, you know, and write out my outline, but it'd be boring for somebody to watch. You're not seeing anything cool.
I got Word document and I'm like, then he went into the office and they're like, I'm off to the next page, man. This is so, this guy's killing me, man. I fell asleep through half.
Yeah. 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 And then
I actually walked through how I do lettering and I got a lot of really fun feedback. And that was kind of cool, right? Because I think people want to know, like, how do you do those kind of things? And because I'm not an artist, I can't show them how to draw, but I was able to do lettering and I did a live on Instagram and that was pretty fun. So you could do stuff like that.
That's cool.
We're limited, you and me, Kendrick, without having a
drawing. We are limited. Yeah. It's just funny because my artist is like, he loves my creativity and you know what I mean? The ideas, but you know, he's the one at the end of the day is bringing him to life more than I am.
Exactly. Yeah.
100%. And sometimes that frustrates me, not because I'm lucky to have Ram. I think he's amazing. We work well with each other because, you know, he doesn't really want to get, he does, but he doesn't want to get on and talk and do all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not his, I don't think that's his bag.
Right.
You know, he's willing to do it, but he's, you know, he's like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not, let's do it.
Yeah. So, I think on the creative side, like we're a little bit more open and a little bit, you know, outward in how we kind of express ourselves. And I think as artists and other, you know, people that are very artistic usually are a little bit more closed like that. So it's harder for them to, that's why they use art to kind of tell the story that they have a hard time maybe sharing a little bit.
Yeah.
So I've noticed a lot of people that have that skill set, even like musicians and stuff like that, the music is doing the talking for them. And that's
their
favorite thing to do. Right.
Yeah. I got to unlock the code. I got to figure out how to find that fan base and that wants the stories, that understands what I'm trying to do. And
Yeah.
Or maybe not understand, or just, you know, wants to see where it's going.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Cause they're out there, Tom, Kingsville fans. They're there. I mean, you got 35 of them right now today that are there that were willing to put their money where their mouth is. Yeah. And now we just got to get the rest of the 3,500 you need.
Yeah.
And then, and get there and, like, you know, and anytime we can do more lives, we can, well, this is, we're recording. We can do another live, this week if you want.
That'd be awesome.
We could do we can do a duel where we talk about yours and mine.
Yeah. I would love that. I would love.
Matter of fact, with StreamYard, we can do, I can broadcast on my channels and you can do a dual broadcast on your channel. We got World at War, Spoiler Country,
I love it.
You know, World at War Comics, Boilerverse Comics, and then we can blah, blah, blah. Put it all over the place.
Let's set it up, Kendrick. I'm gonna enjoy talking to you anyways. I think after you were on my YouTube channel, I think we talked for like 40 minutes after or before, right? So, and we're about the same age.
Yeah, it's
so
fun.
There's a lot in common as far as how we grew up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had a blast, Kendrick, man.
It's a lot of fun. Are you, I saw all your toys in the back, which I saw you opened up some new McFarlane ones.
Yeah, I mean, McFarlane dropped some of my favorite ones, man. I love this Firestorm, which is a figure. I mean, I'll show you the Hawkman, too. It's like the old school Hawkman.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So this one was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this one is really cool. He came out really nice. This was part of, this is the McFarlane Collection Edition, which come in this really nice box, which I tear to pieces and throw away, but it comes in a really nice box with an amazing trading card. The trading cards on these ones, I got them laying right here, are much more, it's like when you open a pack of baseball cards and you get that one chrome one. That's what these ones look like compared to the others. So here's the Hawkman. I don't know if it'll come across, but you can
see. Oh, no, that looks good.
The chrome.
Oh, yeah, you can see the chromium in the lettering.
And then right back here, you see the chrome.
Yep.
And then here's like a normal one. This is one of the Superman that I had from the Injustice 2. And they're nice, too.
Oh, but that's cool.
This is like regular, right? So there's that one. And then I have the Firestorm one, which was really cool. And this one also is part of – and this character is really cool because it's two people that come together to make this character.
Oh, yeah. One
of the most powerful – figures in DC, which a lot of people don't realize because they don't do much with Firestorm for some reason. But I'm thinking because McFarlane came out with this, that that's part of the plan coming up.
They'll do more. Here's the one I got. I don't know if you see if you recognize this. Dun 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 dun. That is the spaceship Yamamoto from Star Blazers.
Oh, Starblazer, yes.
I was a huge Star Blazer nerd when I was growing up. I would be late for the bus because it was on Channel 11 at 7 a.m. and my bus was at 7:30 or 7:35. And I would stay until the end of Star Blazers.
Yeah.
You know, and then run to the bus stop.
Yeah.
And more often than not, my mom would have to drive me to school and she'd be so mad. But I was like, I got to watch the end of Star Blazers. I can't. I have to. And we had Tom Brevoort on. Do you know who Tom Brevoort is?
Oh, uh-uh.
He's the editor in chief at Marvel.
Oh, okay.
And he came on and we were talking and we're going over stuff. And he's a really nice man. He's been there for like the late 80s or early 90s.
Oh, wow.
He's a very nice man. But him and I were talking and we just weren't quite connecting. Right.
Yeah.
And then we started talking Star Blazers and he's a huge Star Blazer. He's such a big Star Blazers fan. When the live action came out in Japan, he took his whole family there to see the live action movie.
Wow.
Yeah. And so then we started talking and we geeked out. He was supposed to be on for 45 minutes. We were on for 2 hours talking Star Blazers and we got off and my partner, Johnny, got on, Amazon and just purchased this for me. It's just a snap together model. I got a this top keeps popping off, so I gotta take that off. But yeah, that's mine. And then I got the Target exclusives from Hasbro for the D&D cartoon.
Yeah,
but I didn't take them out of their boxes.
Are you more of an inbox guy? You like to keep everything in the box, nice and neat.
Yeah, my my kid won't agree. Doesn't agree. She thinks I should take him out.
Yeah, it's
you hard. Know? And, mean, the thing that sucks is that they didn't put a window in to show you the figurines.
Hasbro went away from the window for like climate reasons, right? So they didn't have so much waste. People were so pissed off that they're going back to it next year because people were pissed because a lot of people are inbox collectors and they like to display them and they don't have a window. So they just went nuts. In fact, I have a friend named LT Flores, and you can follow him on TikTok and Instagram. It's House of Geekery. And he's actually an affiliate for McFarlane Toys. So they send him a toy or two every month to kind of talk about. That's when he stopped collecting Marvel Legends, is when they went away from the window, because he's an inbox collector. He was so pissed off. He will not buy anything from them because of that now.
I'm conflicted. There's a part of me that wants to pull him out because I love the D&D cartoon when I was a kid, you know? So I'm conflicted because I'm like, do I take him out? Do I leave him in? And I'm just like, if I take him out, I mean, because I'm going to do the same thing you're doing, right? They're just going to be up on my shelf. I'm not going to be sitting there playing with them, you know?
I just like displaying them, man. It's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And a part of me is like, I don't know. I like when I die and my kid has to deal with them, they're probably worth more if she has them in the box.
Well, then they're easier to deal with. Sure. Yeah. They'll definitely be worth more. I mean, the problem now, though, Kenrick, is Hasbro. And when they make these toys, they make so many of them. Hasbro does. Like McFarlane will limit. Like he'll only do 10,000, do 5,000 of everything that he makes, right? So it's not unlimited. And once they're gone, they're gone forever. So you got to go to eBay and buy them secondhand. On Hasbro, because they're Hasbro, you know, although once they're gone, they make thousands of them. So the worth of those might not
go down quite a bit.
They go down.
I don't have any toy that, I mean, I love that cartoon so much that was like, I have to have those, you know? And then I'm waiting. So I know some of the other characters are coming out that didn't come out in the first. I have all the first wave. Nice. Yeah. And the second wave, I'll probably get the second wave one. But I'm waiting. I'm hoping they do Tiamat, the dragon.
Oh, yeah.
And if they do that, that'll probably come out of the box and and be there.
Yeah. So, what did you feel about the movie that just came out, the live action?
I loved it. I thought the marketing was shit. That they messed up, and I think they did a disservice by not marketing it correctly and not getting it out there more.
People heard positive things from people who actually watched it compared
to it's so good.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm definitely gonna watch it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. I thought they and it's sad because it deserves and we need another one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Chris Pine was so good in it. Everybody was so good in it. And then they had an appearance by the D&D cartoon members.
No way.
In the thing, and it's hilarious. Yeah, they're just in the background, and they're fighting in the maze with them.
Yeah.
And they might die. I don't know. It leaves it open to interpretation if they died or not. Right, but it's definitely them, you know? Yeah, and you're like, oh, my God. And then, it was, I don't know. I thought they did a great job. I've watched it like 3 times now.
Awesome.
I'm not even a big D&D fan. Just the movies and the TV show.
I'm definitely not as big of a fan as you, but I do enjoy it. But you know, once we get into a lot of conversation, I'll get a little bit lost because I don't know all the characters. But I had David Boer on, who is a writer, and he writes
Kanto.
I love Kanto. That's one of my favorite.
Yeah, so good. I've had him on many times. Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Well, you know, he's writing D&D right now for is it IDW?
Oh, nice.
It's called The Sunday Morning, and they do. He does D&D. In fact, when he came on my show, he had his D&D shirt on because he's a huge D&D fan. So, but if you've already had him on, you probably already know that. But he wanted to talk D&D, and I was just like, David, man, I'm on because I wanted you on because of Kanto. I don't know D&D like you do. I'm sorry, man, but he's like such the coolest guy, and he lives here in LA, and he comes to our comic shop here in Hemet all the time because he knows the owner.
Yeah.
Ambrose, so that's where I meet him all the time. One of the most pleasant people you'll ever have on a show, man. Just a nice
guy. I like Dave. He gave me some pointers on my book, actually.
Oh, cool.
And he's such a nice man, and he's just writer, open, man. And it always makes me mad because of his political stances and his social stance, and people like take shots at him for it.
Yeah. No,
and it's like, if you just knew him, you wouldn't want to hurt his feelings. I don't know how else to say it. You wouldn't want to hurt him.
Kind and he's so pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I try to keep politics, like, even though my comic book could be seen and maybe put, that's why I changed all the names. You know, I tell you that where it came from, not because I think that's what's happening, but I thought it would be a really cool story if it was happening, right? And so, but I try to keep politics far away from anything that I'm doing, because this is where I go to escape all that. I'm bombarded like everybody with politics every day of your life. You can't turn the channel without hearing something or seeing something. And I think as human beings, we need a release. And one of the things that I think has caused so much stress in the U.S., is because there's no escape from those type of things anymore. Back in the day, you had to watch the news to get that kind of information. And we all watched the news, we got it, but we went away from that channel and we didn't have to hear about it anymore. Now I got my phone. So as I'm scrolling, you're seeing it as you're just like, it's
bombarded.
Everything. So I want my comic books not to have that in it. In fact, comics, and I think that's what's really hurt Marvel and DC, is they have activists that have come in that want to tell these stories, which I think is, I mean, that's great. Those stories need to be told, but I don't think you change characters that have 80 years with the history to tell those stories. I think indie comics is a perfect area for that, or create new characters. But when you have old guys like me and they're changing, like, these people that I've been reading my whole life, that's no longer that person anymore. And then we just stop buying it because I used to like this character, and now that character is no longer that character. It's somebody completely different. And so, again, those stories need to be told, because it's really important that you are able to reach everybody, and you need those characters. That way you can reach that audience. I get that, but you don't need to do that to those kind of characters. And that's what's really hurting the industry right now. Marvel and DC are constantly declining. It's so bad that they no longer give you the information on what are the top 200 comics anymore. They used to share that, and that's gone. And I think it's because so many people were saying, look, the industry's bad. They just removed the topic that they were using that was allowing people to say that.
Sometimes I wonder, though, I think there's a point to that. But I also wonder, with the advent of crowdfunding, the rise of independent, if the Danny Quicks and the 100%. You know, and the Thomas Hewells and the Travis Gibbs of the world that are doing pretty well in a independent market is forcing those numbers to be skewed as a whole. So you have
100%.
You know what I mean? That there's so much more choice now that you don't have to be a Marvel collector or DC collector. If you don't like superhero stuff and you want to get into other things, like my book is not a superhero book by any stretch. Right. And there's no political affiliation in it, and you can get it and you can get lost in the world and not have to deal with any of that stuff. And I think that's, I think part of that is starting to skew those numbers as well. But I think you're right. I think they don't want to show their numbers.
No, they don't want to show their numbers. And again, maybe 50% of it is fans walking away from those titles. The other 50% is probably Kickstarter, Indiegogo eating into their market share. And no doubt, if you go to Kickstarter and just type in comics and you see the amount of people that have a Kickstarter that are writing a comic, it's crazy. And then you have Comic, which mainly does comics. I mean, it's in their name, right? And then you have Indiegogo, which is not as big as Kickstarter for comics, but there's still a lot of comics there too. So
And I have Zoop. Have you seen Zoop yet?
Oh, yeah. Zoop is awesome too. I might try Zoop on one of these as well, just to test the waters a little bit, because I like it. It's really cool.
I'm wondering if I should do it. Like, I don't know if it's best to do like the Kickstarter. Like, from everybody I've talked to, it's you do one. Don't try to do two. I mean, I know there's people that are doing two, and I think they have a team around them if they're able to be successful at it to do that. But if you're like most people, you have, you know, you have you and you maybe have a couple other friends that are helping you out. Like I have me, I got lucky. Greg Smith came on, who Smith is well known in the independent scene. And Johnny is helping me. John Horsley is helping me as well. And, you know, all three of us are actively managing the campaign. Right. Exactly. Obviously I'm doing more because it's, I'm the one who puts everything out, but at the same time, I'm lucky to have that. But I know there's some people that's what their company does.
Yeah.
You know, they manage your Kickstarter campaign and they're able to do multiple crowdsourcing. But I'm wondering now that once this one ends, if I should look at doing a Zoop one on top of it.
Yeah. I mean, I have there's a guy named Peter Cimetti who owns Alterna Comics, and he does Indiegogo. He also has a huge fan base, so he does it off of his own website. Then he does fund a comic at the same time. He'll do two or three at the same time to give people options. Like if their thing is fund my comic, then I have it there. And instead of fund my comic and Indiegogo, you don't have to put in a goal. You can put in a goal, but you'll get paid out wherever you finish. And because of that, right, he just lets them go on for as long as they need to go on for. So the fund the comic, he'll have a 3-month one. And if you like whatever he's doing, because he does quarterlies, he'll like release comics every quarter. That gives him a lot of flexibility. And I love that about those two platforms is because you get paid out wherever you finish. Whereas Kickstarter, you have to put in a goal and you'll get nothing until you hit that goal. So that's something to think about too.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if I should do something. Sorry. The dog is like,
I know my dogs keep coming in and out too, but it's all good.
Oh God. Yeah. But, I'm always wondering. I mean, I'm going to print out. I have 1,000 copies being printed, and then I can't decide if I want to hit the con market or try to sell online or, send like 2 or 3 copies to separate comic book stores to see. You know what I mean? Hey, just tell me if this sells. You guys keep it, sell it for the. I'm printing at this. This is how much I'm charging comic book stores. If you like it, I'll send you more. Yeah. Doing something like that or hitting the con, I've heard good things and bad things about cons.
Well, they're a pain in the butt. That's the bad thing. And I've done a few of them, but cons are really important to grow your fan base because you have, people go to cons because they love comic books. Most part, right? Obviously there's other things that they get into too, but you're going to find your market in a con 100% of the time. And that's where you build. And the creators that I've met at cons, they live by them and they do a lot of them. And they say it's extremely important and they're successful because of that. I don't know if you know KJ Kaminsky and he does the Resistance. Mm-mm.
Okay.
He's a really cool guy. And he's already produced, I think, 25 comics. And so he has all kinds of arcs. So he's been in the game for a while and he's pretty successful. His company's called Big Blue Comics. So you could check him out. And his comic book reminds me very much of G.I. Joe. Oh, I lost you. The lights went
out. Yeah, I think my camera just died.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's okay.
All right. Well, you can still see mine. This is it right here.
Yeah. And nice.
Huge G.I. Joe fan. The art is incredible. And his stories remind me of G.I. Joe. The characters are not. They're aliens. But it's like some of the scenarios are very similar to G.I. Joe. And because IDW lost G.I. Joe and there was this gap of 6 months and I love G.I. Joe, I found him at a con and he goes, a lot of my fans have found me at a con. So, and he lives by it. So I think it's important to do some cons. Throw it in there, a little mix,
Yeah. Yeah. I'll check it out. Sorry, my camera went out.
You have Seattle is a really good one. And Portland is huge, man.
Yeah, Rose. And the nice thing was with the Emerald City Comic Con, independent people do really, really well up here.
Yeah. I heard like, Rose
really
is
well
for indies too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a good thing. I can't believe my camera died on me.
That is crazy, man. I thought you had that fancy camera.
Well, I have it plugged in and I don't know. Sometimes
didn't you say it was a newer camera?
It is. It's just sometimes I have it plugged in. I think the power source is not charging it fast enough.
Yeah.
So the battery goes dead. Gotcha. But this is a good spot.
Yep.
It's a good spot. We've been on for over an hour already, which is crazy.
I didn't realize that, Kenrick. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Hey guys. Get out. Go to Kickstarter, check out Kingsville. You'll be very happy if you did. The information will be down below. You can click on there and go right to his Kickstarter campaign. He's at 15 now. Let's get him over to that 3,500 mark so we can get this thing funded. Let's get over to get Kingsville issue 3 out. So we got to get to issue 2. So let's get this done.
Yeah.
Tommy.
Eric, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
Likewise. I really appreciate you, Kenrick. It's been awesome getting to know you. And Yeah, we could do this again next week, man.
Oh yeah, you're a friend now, man. So we're gonna we'll be talking lots more.
100%. Next time I'm in Seattle, man, I go up there for Costco meetings. I'll reach out to you and see if we can do lunch or something.
Yeah, let's get some dinner.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate you. Talk soon.
Spaghetti.